digital out and all that. I have three of them actually. One needs a new pin thrower, two are in good condition. I'd like to sell the two. You could have all three if you give me $200. The two working ones and the one that doesn't work. Otherwise, they're $100 each, the working ones. Over.
Just curious, Joe, what's your email?
My email, that's Houston City College email address, which is jciccone, C-I-C-C-O-N-E, at cny.edu. I use that for most of my ham radio things, because the station is a school and all that. In fact, the station was on the NSA, worked a lot of Europe on 10 meters and so forth. And so, you know, fans are open. I'm a long wire person. Over there we have 200 feet of wire in the air and an STG tuner on the roof. So, you know, that's what we use. Get out on all bands. No fuss, no bother. And the box of converters, give me $100 for the whole thing or trade something. I'd like to know the person who has a bunch of rotators here, if he's trading or selling any of those. Over.
Steve.
Sorry, I missed the question, Gordon.
Yeah, Joe is asking whether or not you had the contacts for these bunches of rotators you referenced.
My call sign is ARRL.net.
WI2W at ARRL.net. And Joe, I didn't get your email. The idea just came up and clunked you, and you know. I got JCI, and that's all I got out of your email.
It's JCICCONE at CCNY.CUNY.CU.
Yeah, let's see if I have this right. I have Juliet Charlie India, Charlie Charlie Oscar November Echo at Charlie Charlie November Yankee dot Charlie Uniform November Yankee dot Echo Delta Uniform. Over.
You got it correct. You got it correct. I prefer people calling me either at work on the landline there or my landline at home. I really prefer that over emails any day. So I'll give you the phone number if you wish.
Give me one phone number, please.
I'll give you my home number. 718-896-1337.
Okay, copy. Figures 718.896.1337. Over.
You got it right. You got it right.
Yeah, okay. Alrighty. Just an observation. You might want to go up on some of the ham lists. Regarding the prices you're competing against for this kind of stuff. So, just a thought. Maybe make that stuff move a little bit better. Or at least provide you with some ideas as to where you can market it that will help you get your price. Alrighty. Let's see. I think we're done with that. Let's see what else. I got the licensing stuff. We did that. And I guess, are there any other check-ins for the net before we go to the next topic? Because it's 10:15, so I want to make sure that we take care of this before we jump into another realm of interest. All right, well, just be aware, everybody, that last week, Mark and 2MH came aboard and mentioned the BeagleBone Black and using the All-Star Network. I am kind of amazed when I looked at the All-Star Network as to how spotty the number of repeaters are that use it and where they're concentrated. They're mostly concentrated in the middle part of the state, surrounding the 280, the lower 287 corridor down to Trenton. It's kind of 287 and Route 1, that area of the world. Fascinating, you know, Raritan to Trenton. And it is kind of fun. So, you know, we'll, you know, keep that in mind. But I will put into my notes the specific USB sound card interface that Mark recommended you use. You can buy lots of different ones, but you can pay a lot of money for them. I paid $2.50 for mine, or $2.40 for mine each, and I bought a dozen of them. And the idea is that you have to be able to access the board to do some small mods to them, to put the push-to-talk line on and one other change that was required, but it's really simple. You can tap for the audio. But, you know, they're mic in, mic out, and they're really, really simple and easy to use, so I think we'll have a good time with these. And that and the BeagleBone, you can build yourself a, you know, a an internet transceiver, basically. And yes, there is echolink capability built into this too, which I think is kind of fun. So, with that in mind, let's see what we got. Anything on that topic? People want to get follow-on information. It's in last week's notes on the ComTech group. And again, thank you, Steve, for such beautiful notes last week. I must say, mine are not quite as pretty, but mine have gotten much better this week because of the example you set. So, anybody else have anything on this topic? All right, FYI, on Sunday night I'll be running an amateur radio class from 7 to 9. And we're going to kind of do more in-depth question and answer, that more than just question and answer type stuff. And we'll get that done. And, of course, we'll have... we'll be doing that on many Sunday nights between now and the end of December, and if necessary, in January. And of course, on December 26th, the day after Christmas, I'll do the all-day war dance on getting your ham license, and we'll go over every question in the technician pool, and then Don and his merry band of VEs will come on in the evening and give the examination to those who need to take it. All righty. So with no further ado, NY9A, quantum mechanics, and I forget what the topic was within that. It's your ball, KTBAR.
Thank you kindly. Appreciate it, Gordon. I recall that the first sign of advancing age is the desire to lecture, so I am not going to lecture tonight. What I am going to do is to try to pose something and then see what people know about it, and if nobody knows anything about it, well, then we can all study together. How about that? I don't lay any claim whatsoever to understanding quantum mechanics, even though I did wear out Brian Greene's book, The Elegant Universe, to the point where it fell apart in my hands, and I had to write to the publisher and complain that his books weren't made as strongly as they should be. He sent me another book. Oh, my God. That was just an attempt at trying to understand quantum mechanics the first time around. So ever since then, I have just nibbled at it and taken bites here and bites there, because it's quite a lot to try to digest and to even comprehend. If you have the mathematical background, you can do wonders with it. Let me let it drop. If you don't have the mathematical background, it's really important to take small bites. Brian Greene, you know, is a professor of physics at Columbia University, and he is the author of The Fabric of the Cosmos and several other really outstanding books. I am just going to quote a couple of things from him tonight that have intrigued the hell out of me, which is basically about particles that are, or photons, take your pick, that are interconnected by what they call quantum entanglement. Quite some phrase. Basically, you can generate two entangled photons by passing a beam of light through a splitter and putting it through a borum crystal, which is not something from Star Trek. What you get when you get done with this is a pair of photons which are like twins. No matter what you do to one, it affects the other. And it doesn't make any difference whether one is here or on the other side of the universe. It doesn't make any difference how much distance separates them. Now, I looked at this and I said, whoa. Considering that, you know, even using radio, which is the fastest medium that we have at our hands, it's still pretty damn slow at 186,000 miles per second. But you take a look at what they're talking about, and it's at least 10,000 times faster. That's the number that I read in one of the pieces online. 10,000 times faster. And I, like I said, I don't even want to get into what quantum entanglement is, but it basically says a photon here can affect another photon there instantaneously. And that's enough to blow my mind, because if we could have a communications medium based on that, just imagine what it would mean. Hey, it would be just like Star Trek. We'd have subspace radio. Anyway, I put this up, and I'm throwing it up as a ball in the infield, and seeing who's going to jump at this, and who's going to bring a thought to the discussion. And it's getting to be 20 minutes after 10, and I'm falling asleep. So with that, back to you, Gordon. W2TTT and the net, NY9A.
Well, that's okay. So here's what we've done here. I'm glad you raised the topic. So here are my notes. It's very, very simple and straightforward and gives people, shall we say, a question mark as to what they want to go look at. Quantum mechanics, specifically the topic of quantum entanglement, which is the mirrored status of two displaced photons. And also I provide a reference. Brian Green is Green Standard five-letter spelling. That's my question to you. And Columbia University, and he wrote Fabric of the Universe. Those are my references.
Wonderful. It's Brian Green with an E, and he wrote The Fabric of the Cosmos.
Fabric of the Cosmos, and it's Green with an extra E, so the three-eyed Green as opposed to the three-eyed Green.
Wonderful. He's also got a terrific series of programs on PBS that rerun periodically, or which are available on YouTube, that encapsulate much of what has been discussed so far.
Okay. Very good. I think we'll leave it at that for now. But yeah, the communications possibilities are amazing. So I said reference Brian Green. Was Brian with an I, by the way?
Yes, that's correct. You might also want to add the name Michio Kaku, M-I-C-H-I-O, and the last name is K-A-K-U, who's one of the finest lecturers in physics. He's a theoretical physicist. He's from CCNY, I believe, and he's one of the finest lecturers I've ever heard in this area.
Yeah, he's from what, CCNY, and I forget how to spell his first name again.
M-I-C-H-I-O.
Okay, Michio Kaku, CCNY. Very good. I'll make a note there, too. He's a professor there. All right. Yeah, he's a very interesting fellow. He's the 21st century answer to Carl Sagan, I guess, when it comes to turning on the television, having weird science explained.
Amen. And the neat part about it is he does so with such elegance and good humor that you come away actually learning something.
Yeah, actually, I like him. I like him a lot better than Sagan. He's a little less full of himself, for lack of a better term.
So I thought I would just throw the ball up and ask you, what do you think we can make out of this as a kind of discussion topic?
Well, here's the question. I mean, the mirrored status of two displaced photons. They're entangled, but they're not necessarily physically, you know, in the same place. And dare I say, time. That's a whole other conversation. So the real question is, you know, where are we realistically, you know, in how would you manipulate them, et cetera? How do you change the state of one photon, and how do you detect the resulting change of state in the other one? There are standard ways to do that, but then the question is, how do you entangle the two? How do you move one to one physical space versus another? How do they become entangled? How do you manage the entanglement process? So that's a really interesting question. I don't have the mathematical background. I have more of an abstract background in this nonsense. So the trick is, how do we go about answering those basic questions? And then there's the, you know, here's the good news. You don't need to be a mathematician to figure that out. What you need to do is just think, you know, how might one manipulate light? How might, you know, how one might want to manipulate a photon? And there's plenty of, shall we say, reasonable discussions on how to do that. The question is, how can we take those and, you know, create the entanglement, or how do you remove the entanglement? Ultimately, when you want to, you know, say, you know what, I don't want photon A to know about photon B. How does that work? You know, I don't know. So, yeah, I think an outside-the-box kind of approach to hypothesizing how that might work is the first step, and then you worked on the math later.
I couldn't agree with you more. The math is very nice for coming up with an elegant explanation, but just to get your arms and your brain around this thing, you know, hello, distance doesn't matter. It isn't power, what is it? Well, I should remember this. P equals EI, whatever, power over distance squared. That doesn't enter into the equation. Anyway, I'm not going to argue this point anymore. It's just too much fun. But I encourage everybody, if you've got a chance, look into this. It's worth it. And this is the big thing in quantum physics now. I mean, the whole thing of the physics world is quantum physics and quantum entanglement. So you can only expect to be hearing more about this as time goes by. Over to you, Gordon.
I would think so. I would definitely think so. It's, you know, I mean, I've given the concept some thought before, and, you know, it just went, okay, now what? But it's such a neat topic. I've come back to it. I've come back to it several times in my life. So I'm glad you raised it, and thank you for doing so.
My pleasure, and I am here to be educated.
Alrighty. Real quick, a question for W2S. Randy, do you happen to know if there was input or discussion as to whether or not the tall clients can be on a Linksys platform? He must have gone upstairs. All right, we'll come back to him later. I got to ask, I got to check with him regarding that and whether or not he got his information on the tunnel trials that we're doing with the folks in Texas, with Daryl and a few other guys, Clint, and I think it'll be just excellent when that rolls out. Start linking these networks up. If we can do that, then then Randy will probably pull up the server, then I'll pull up the server. Although we're both on Fios, But we'll get Carl to put one up on Cablevision or something, and we'll go from there. I think it'll be most excellent. We might even be able to put one at the Fairlawn Radio Club at such time we can verify that we can get through their firewall with it. So there's a lot of different carrier options. One of the things we want to do with these with these tunnels is to make sure that they're across different carriers for the same local area, and that way we if we lose, let's say, Cablevision, or we lose Fios, or, you know, we have other alternatives, or we lose it in one area, we have connectivity in other places. The other is that Randy and I both started taking action on putting the tunnels on, or we will take action on tunnels, to do it from mobiles, so we'll actually be able to roll up and create a tunnel from a localized mesh network to the rest of the mesh, wherever it may be, using a cellular gateway. So that'll be kind of cool, too. All right. Anybody else have anything for the net tonight? We've really had quite an eclectic net tonight. Anything else people want to add, go for it. KTB Air.
W2JK.
Mr. Don.
I heard Howie's selling his Drake 2B with the Q multiplier, and one thing that I just found on the internet today, there is a organization known as the Classic Exchange, which is a contest for the old boat anchor type radios, and they're just announcing the dates of the new of this coming Classic Exchange. They have them twice a year. They're having the CW that's coming up on January 18th, and the on February 8th, they're going to have AM single sideband and FM for the older radios. And the way they work this is that you make contact. You have to make three contacts with a piece of equipment to qualify it. And then you can use the age of that equipment to be part of your multiplier. And then what you do is you can take the age, for example, of a Harvey Wells transmitter was 62 years old, and my 63 years old, and my Helicraft is S76 is 62 years old. You got 125 years. Use them both together as a qualifier, and I multiply that times the number of contacts using that as a multiplier. That makes that's a figure to score. And then you can add in other radios. I get on my Johnson Ranger with my Drake 2B. I use the age of that, and I have other radios too. Some of these guys have 50 radios, and they get these all on the air on a Sunday afternoon. But that's a little bit strenuous for most of us. But there are guys out there that just go out with a couple radios, and we all have a lot of fun getting these old radios on the air. The website is classicexchange.org, classicexchange.org, and anybody that has a boat anchor like to use it and make some contact with other boat anchors, that's the place to go. I won't hold it anymore. Back to net, W2JK.
That's awesome. Ooh, I'm tired. That really is. So, so you create your own attractiveness as a multiplier by having as much vintage radio equipment dragged out for the occasion as possible.
Basically, they have two classes now. They have one that's three or fewer transmitter receiver pairs, and another one that has four or more receiver transmitter pairs. Because for the average guy to try and compete with the guy that's got 50 radios and a click, click, click switch, and he's banging away the contacts, it's a little hard. They have two classes for it now. This is something new they just came out with. And they have a bonus there if you're using the same rigs or type of rig that you had when you were a novice, you get a bonus point for that. And this year also, anything that was about, if you have a B&W 5100 transmitter or a AOL 100 receiver, you get bonus points for those particular radios. They have bonus points for certain radios every year. It's just something they change every year. Go to fun, get these radios on the air, and light them up once in a while. Twice a year they have these. They have one in, also in September. Back to that.
So it's www.classicexchange.org.
That's a roger, and you'll see there's a there's an announcement now for the January 2-5 Classic Exchange. And also coming out with the newsletter from the last exchange. It's still in the works the last time I looked.
It's really wonderful. It's really, really wonderful. So I will add that to the notes. And congratulations on having some of this ancient gear rolling up. I got to tell you, I myself, you know, think about what I struggled with when I was a new ham, or even before I was a ham, with some of the stuff I had, and I'm like, do I really want to do that? I just don't have that yen of nostalgia. My yen of nostalgia goes back to about basically an R390A or an R390. That's about as primitive as I want to go. Even like a KWM2 or like the Drake 2B or even a Drake R4C with a, you know, the Sherwood filters and all other happy nonsense. That's good. No, I just, you know, don't want to play that game. You know, I do get fond recollections of how it was to operate it. I just don't want to do that again. I think that's the difference. I mean, so I share the enthusiasm for the rig, but not for doing it, not for reliving it. So, I like the contest idea. I'm trying to think what would be the exchange that I would use. I guess my vintage radio of choice would be probably a TS-680, a modern digital radio, or a TS-120, because I had a TS-120. So I could live with that, Don. And I realize that's hardly, you know, how do I say it? A boat anchor in the classic sense. It's certainly kind of neat. I do get the fondness when I look at the stuff. I just don't want to operate it. I think that's it. One thing Mark mentioned last night, or last week, I should say, about these audio devices, that you had to use a little mini saw to open them up. I actually was able just to pop it open with a sharp knife and just pop the two halves of the plastic apart.
Repeater. Timeout. Clear.
I went to ramble mode. Sorry about that. So, anyway. So next week I should have my HM-12-4-5 bargain basement microphone working. I have it on the HF rig, and I just got to boot the computer later tonight, and I'll have it on an FM rig by next week, so it'll make taking notes on the net a lot easier. And we will have a net on Thanksgiving night, by the way. No question about it. It might be a little interesting, because I may or may not be taking my brother back to New York at that point, but it's all good. Anybody else? Alrighty. Well, Don, thank you very much. Oh gosh, what was that called? The what exchange?
The Classic Exchange. It's classicexchange.org, classicexchange.org, and they have the list, the results of the previous exchanges on there too. And also a lot of pictures. That's another thing. They've got lots of pictures in there of stuff. I think mine are on there too someplace.
super. So www.classicexchange.org for old-time radio operating activities. Hurry. Anything else from anybody? Well, just reference amateurradio.tv. www.amateurradio.tv is where we're it's where we're our audio is recorded and placed after the net. And of course, next week we will have a net on Thanksgiving night. So look forward to seeing you. And wish everyone a beautiful Thanksgiving, a fun and safe weekend. And thank God we don't live in Buffalo. They're working on, they'll have 10 feet of snow by the time Monday rolls around on the ground in about a week. It's crazy. God bless everybody and take care. And thank Chestnut Ridge Radio Company for the repeater. And thank Barra for having this net as well. This is K2BAR signing clear and returning the repeater to normal amateur radio use. God bless.
Gordon, I have a quick off-the-net question for you, K2EIR.
Sure, Howie, go ahead.
I'm just curious, you know, here I'm running an indoor antenna. In fact, I have a fluorescent desk lamp, and it's got a 5/8 wave, very old high-gain antenna mag mount on it. That's my antenna that I'm using now and generally use. And when you first started up the net, you were as strong, I don't think any signal could read any stronger than the repeater. Both with, I guess, the digital equivalent of pinning the scale here. But you're not as strong now. Have you made any changes? Have you reduced power?
No, but that's interesting to note. I will tell you, the radio is real hot.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know whether, you know, because I may have moved the lamp, and but I can't get you back. I was really amazed because I've listened on at other times, and you were never, you know, pinning it. And tonight, in the beginning, you were. I just thought it was amazing.
Well, let me say, I've got about 40 watts out now. So, and the SWR is flatter than it can be. So I don't know.
Hey, something changed. I just don't know what it is. And again, with set up here, it could be a little haywire. Something could have moved. In fact, a number of things did move, so I don't know what it is. I'll have to play sometime. Unfortunately, this rig doesn't have a coax connector on the end. What it has is it's an old Kenwood. It has a piece of coax, a pigtail that comes out, and I think there's a female connector at the end of it. It's about 8 inches long, so I always worry about that pigtail. They just didn't have room to put a connector on, apparently. Anyway, 90 night 73, good net, W2TTT from K2EIR.
Yeah, Howie, just out of curiosity, which radio do you have?
The one I'm using here, you know, not in the car, is a they're both Kenwoods. Let's see, I may have to put on my glasses for this. It's a TM-261, I think. Yes, a TM-261.
Sure, so that's one of the 2-meter monobanders. Before they changed the style entirely and went to the 71. But yeah, everything from the 221 to the 61s are, you know, pretty much look the same.
It's a very small rig with the heat sink is almost as big as the rig, and when I look at my old Kenwood handy talkie that only puts out 5 watts, and by the way, the level I'm at now is about 5 watts, this is a 50 watt rig, but when I look at the old HT, it isn't in the same shape, but it's probably no bigger than an old HT. It's a small radio.
Yeah. Very definitely. Well, I'm taking a picture of, I took a picture, I should say, of this audio interface, and I'm using the Windows 7 snipping tool to to essentially, you know, do what I have to do to provide a little picture for the net. And then I'll send that out. But I will look more carefully at my power situation. I probably should run lower power during the net. There's really no reason to be a total jerk about it. Run high power, you know?
Yeah, you just need to be prepared to raise it should the need arise. By the way, you cut out, timed out, just as you were talking about opening up the, the box of that audio interface.
Yeah, I know. I got your comment on the input, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, well, if I was set up, I don't know if you were listening on the UHF channel. I would have alerted you there.
What, on Chestnut Ridge's UHF?
Yeah, that's what I had in mind, but again, I'm not set up right now. I could do it, but I'm not set up right now.
No, I didn't think to do that. Actually, I was listening on 442, but yeah, good piece of advice to run the back channel. Actually, I was listening on 835. I'm just curious, can I hear 835 when I'm keyed down here? It's an interesting question. Just see if that works. Let me just stay keyed down. Oh, yeah. Worst case, you go over there and just holler at me.
Sorry. I got to, could be over there and could holler at you, but I missed the first thing, so the whole meeting is not clear.
Okay. Yeah, whatever. It's fine. So, let me get going, Howie. I want to get these notes out. And then I think what I'm looking to do is I have to take care of some work-related things. Because in theory, I want to take off tomorrow. I've kind of decided that I'm going to essentially take back all the time I didn't get on my alleged days off, including tomorrow. That's how I'm going to spend my week next week. So basically, I'm going to kind of chill.
Okay. Whatever floats your boat. Yeah, I'm going to get off too. I don't know if George is still awake or in the other rig. I might chat with him for a minute, but I'm really feeling the fatigue. This is a good time to go to sleep. 73 W2TTT from K2EIR.
Yeah, that's a real good idea. Anyway, you'll have the notes in about 5 minutes, and you'll see them. I just didn't want to put in a 6-meg file showing all the graphics. You just didn't need to see the whole thing, so I wanted to put a picture in there, but I wanted to keep it reasonably small. So, all right. You take care and God bless, and we'll chat with you soon. K2EIR W2TTT.
Yeah, Gordon, and one reason why Joe didn't want email, I think, and why I preferred a phone call is he's sightless, so just keep that in mind for the future. K2EIR.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I know there are people who have vision issues, like Dave N2AAM does, and WA2ZNT does, and, you know, it generally does not even faze me to even think differently, because at least those two have found ways to essentially navigate the universe, irrespective of whether or not they're computer people, pretty effectively. But not everybody has, and I understand that. It's all good. By the way, I was up at the league yesterday working on some stuff with one of the EMC engineers on at Air Staff, Mike Gruber. And I was there for work, if you can believe it, working on conducted and radiated emissions compliance testing.
Sounds like my problem here.
Certainly there are parallels, yes. But basically the ecosystem in which everything lives needs to be toned down a bit. If you're gonna be, the more stuff you throw into the game, the worse it is. Anyway, fascinating anyway. And we had a eureka moment, which is kind of cool. And we're going to write a paper on it. Now I have to figure out how to get the company to let me publish it.
Okay, well, if anything you can pass along sometime, let me know. You have my curiosity up to find out what the eureka moment is, but I don't want to... I imagine you can't give away the show, and your comment about whether the company will let you publish it also means that there may be sensitive issues there, so maybe it's still time to go to sleep. 73, K2EIR.
No, it's just the process. Yeah, they'll let me publish it, but just the whole process is just unbelievable. But it probably has... standards impact and all sorts of other things. So there's a lot of hoops to run through, and that's a good thing. Unfortunately, my company's not a member of that particular standards organization, so or that particular work group. So that they were, but they're not. And so I got to figure out what that's about and how to navigate through the mess. Anyway, we'll chat with you later, and above all, enjoy. I'm going to see if I can get this figure in, and then I'm going to call it a day. So, K2EIR, W2TTT.
Okay, good. Good night. I'm going to just hang out here for a few more moments in case George is here and wants to say hello, and... then I'm going to pull the big switch, or the little red switch, whatever. Good night, K2EIR.
By the way, I really liked his topic. Very thought-provoking, and I've given that some thought, so... Now the question is, what? 73W2TTT.
Y9A from K2EIR. You're around, George? Still awake? Nothing heard. K2EIR, QRT. that 23800, that Harriman repeater. I want to see if I'm getting into it at all.
Yeah, I was on it before, but I didn't know if you would call me on this one or call me on the 9-4, so I went the 9-4 and monitored. All right, I'll go there. KD2BOR. KD2BOR listening.
KD2BOR, NYLU mobile.
KC2YJV.
Acknowledge, Victor. Oh, Charlie, before I forget, Alan was calling you a little before midnight. I haven't heard him since. Over to you, Vic. KC2VOR.
Good evening, Charlie. Good evening, Rocky. I have a request for you, Rocky, for KD2CAK to ask me for your phone numbers. I told him I'm not giving out anything unless I have your permission.
I spoke to Ari yesterday, thank you. I got his phone call a couple days ago, but I've been busy at the shop, and I apologized to him yesterday for not calling him sooner. I called him yesterday morning.
Okay, very good, because I will not give out a person's number without having their permission first.
I appreciate that. Over to you, Charlie.
All right, very good. Good morning, Vic. Sounding good this morning. Is that still the TYK?
Yes, sir, with a few modifications done to it, but it's still the TYT.
It sounded pretty good this morning, nice and loud. Good to hear you. Yeah, we were just talking about Buffalo. My brother actually has his wife's family lives up in Buffalo. I don't know how many of them are still up there. I probably should call him and see how they're making out. I wouldn't be surprised if he was planning on having Thanksgiving up there. I have a feeling those plans are shot. It's an unbelievable amount of snow. I couldn't even imagine that up here. I wouldn't want to imagine that. 3 feet would be more than a nightmare. Back to you, Vic.
Morning, Charlie. Yeah, I hear you. I definitely hear you. All right, I'm going to be to the side here because I just wanted to check with Rocky and say good morning to everybody. But I'll be listening because I'm doing some work on the shack here.
Okay, very good. Over to you, Rock.
All right. Thanks again, Vic. Good talking to you. KD2BOR.
Hey, good, Rock. I'll be floating around out here listening. KC2YJV.
All right. Very good. Charlie, an update on the tri-band radio from any tone. First factory run of this radio will be December 1st. They're taking orders now. You'll get it by the end of December. Price to the United States is $335.
Okay, well, that's interesting. Let's see if that happens. They keep changing their release date. The first run of the radio is December 1st, but you won't see it till the end of December. Okay. That's interesting. Well, like I said, I certainly don't want to be the first one buying it. Oh, by the way, I found my right angle connector. It's, it's in my Micronta to make the run with the coax a little bit easier. My Micronta is right in front of my face in the shack. You know, of course, it's like they always say, it's, you know, in the last place you'd look, which is the, you know, right in front of your face. So I'll get it out to you, or I'll bring it to you when I come back from vacation.
Charlie, it's no rush. It's only a connector. Don't worry about it. That $335 price includes priority shipping, so at least you're getting shipping with it.
Yeah, who's, is that from any particular dealer, or is that just the price that they're throwing up there? Because I'm sure everybody will have their own special price. And does that thing come with a remotable kit, or is one offered?
I did not get that far. It's coming to, the site is Welcome to Waxon US. And there's another company and something else, but looks like the people that are making it are going to distribute it or selling it outright. That's the only one I found so far.
KC2Z left.
Morning, Alan.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, Rocky there. I just want to ask you, did you get my email in response to yours?
Yes, I did. I think you, excuse me, I think you talked about sideband. I do 2 meter sideband, that's it. I'm not sure what other sideband you do. I don't know if you do 220 sideband, but yeah, I did get your email response.
Yeah, okay. It was 2 meter and 440 that I was playing with up here. And I mentioned about the 220, regular 220 FM.
Yeah, how do you do on 220? What repeaters do you use?
There's a couple up here. I mentioned the Carmel machine, but I think it was the Beacon, and there's another one coming up pretty soon. There's quite a few that are coming up there that are in construction right now, and then a lot of us use Simplex up here, which is it's very nice. And I mentioned to you that I have the same Alinco, but it's up here. It's so much nicer using 220. It's so quiet. And a bunch of us just get on there sometimes and just rant you back and forth, primarily Simplex.
Yeah, okay. What antenna are you using? Because I think you have all indoor antennas. Is that right?
Yes and no. 220 that I use, it's a ground plane that I made, basically, and I just recently put my UHF Yagi inside a plastic storage bin, one of those real big heavy-duty plastic storage bins, and I put the Yagi in there with the top on, and this particular case that it's in, it allows me to wire tie the lid cover on it, or I can use small little padlocks. So I'm using wire ties, and I just put it outside on the balcony. It's not seen. Anybody going around looking, they'll just see a storage bin, unless they look very closely and find the coax to it. And so far, it seems to be working pretty good. So I'm going to try the same thing. I'm going to make a VHF ground plane, put that in a storage bin as well and see how well that works so I can get this GP1 out of the house.
Okay, well, unfortunately, I think we're too far away for Simplex, you know, unless I put up a more substantial antenna. I've got a Slim Jim ladder line J-pole cut for just 220, pulled up into a tree about maybe 30 feet, and it does pretty good. I was actually on the Harriman repeater just this morning with Rocky just to see if I could make it, and I can. That repeater's a bit noisy. I don't know if it's just because of my location or if it's just noisy in general, but the audio seems to cut through all of the noise. And the O2O, the Carmel machine, I get into. So we could probably talk on that. We'll have to make a sketch so I can see how I hear you and how you hear me. These up-and-coming 220 repeaters, keep me informed. You know, send me an email now that you got mine when they're coming up and, you know, all the pertinent information about them. I had heard a rumor that something was going on the Armstrong Tower. I don't know how true that is. But I'm hoping that'll have real good coverage. That's a pretty big tower. I drive past it every day. And then are you going to the luncheon on Monday, the 24th, and then pass it over to Rocky?
To negative, no. I guess you're talking about the club for the Alpine Club. I think that's what you're talking about. Yeah, no, I won't be there at that one. And I missed the last one that, AC2T had put together. I missed that. And I was out of town for that. So, that's a negative on that. If you're going, I hope you enjoy it. I don't know how many people are going to be there. So, throw it over to you, Rocky, boys, I gotta get familiar with your calls, but anyway, over to you, Rocky. It's KC2UM.
Yeah, very good, Alan. Good morning, or good evening. It's KD2VOR. I heard you calling for Charlie a little before midnight, but I was just lifting my head up off the pillow. I fell asleep again last night listening to the tech. But I did hear you out there, and I passed the information to Charlie that you were looking for. Back to you.
Okay, KD2BOR, KC2ZUM. Thanks very much. Yeah, I wasn't feeling so well this evening. I caught a cold on my left side, and I put some of that icy hot on it, took some Tylenol. I went to lay down, but I left the volume up on the radio, and you guys started Q-selling there, and my wife nudged me, and she said, the radio's up too loud. So I got up, that's when I came in here, and I thought it was another repeater. But, I had just wanted to check with him and see if he had gotten an email and had any further questions about the 220, and which I'll keep you informed on that. And other than that, I'm on the amp, by the way, still using that, and I'm pretty pleased with the way it's turning out. It's really nice, and I've been getting some nice compliments, especially from you guys. On the net the other day, some people were saying it's the best they heard me RF-wise since I've been up here. Back to you.
KD2POR, yeah, I gave you that compliment on the way home yesterday when I was left Debbie's house. You have sounded the best on RF since I've been in ham radio. Over to you, Charlie. KD2BOR.
KD2BOR, KC2ZUM, N1LU Mobile. It's coming up to the George Washington Bridge. I'll have to check out that Beacon 220 machine. I haven't tried it yet. I'm bringing this rod and my 235 into the house today because I'm off for a week and a day now. So I'm going to try my amplifier. Will take 10 watts in. And supposedly puts out 120, so I want to verify that. And I figure I'll use the 220 in the house this week, you know, while I'm on vacation, then put it back in the car. Eventually, I'd like to get a mobile radio in the house so I can excite that amp with the full 10 watts. Right now, I'm using my THF6. It's only doing just under 5, so I'm getting about 50 out.